Great. Welcome, ladies. How's the volume on that? Is that okay? Okay. Good morning, evening. Yep. Okay, so this evening we are going to be going through Nehemiah 11 and 12. But before we get started, I have a few announcements. So we're collecting still donations in the back, and I look through all the things that we do have, and if your heart is feeling stirred to donate more, we need shampoos, conditioners, and lotions. So those are the things that we've got lots of hand sanitizers, toothbrushes, and toothpaste. So you see the burden of women's hearts is like, brush your teeth, you know? So we're good on that. But we do need shampoos, conditioners, and lotion. So if you think about that, we still need that. And we will be starting something new March, the first week of March, that first Wednesday, and we will be announcing that next week. And next week is our last week of teaching through Nehemiah. And then the following week, we're going to be having a potluck here. And we're still figuring out. We're still figuring out how that's going to work. There's some talk. Usually we would do a potluck here with just the girls, but now there are the boys here. And then other, they make things so complicated. So... So we're still kind of figuring out if we're going to do a joint deal or what. So anyway, the following week, which is the 24th, we will be having a potluck. There won't be any teaching. We will be bagging all the hygiene packs. So that will be really, really quick. So that's all the announcements. You can mark your calendars for the women's retreat, which is April 29th. And April 30th and May 1st, so you can start putting $5 bills away instead of going to Starbucks, and then you will have the money when we start doing registration. So with that, why don't we go ahead and pray? Lord, I thank you that you have gathered us again this evening in your name. We come here because of you and for you and with you. And we ask that you would be high and lifted up, that you would be blessed with what is happening here on this campus, in this room, in our hearts. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us, speak to us loud and clear, so clearly that we would know exactly what you're saying to each and every one of us, God, and that we wouldn't tarry to implement the things that you are speaking to us, God. We give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so why don't you open your Bibles to Nehemiah 11. And as I look at Nehemiah 11, I can't help but see the very last sentence of chapter 10. In my Bible, it says, "We will not neglect the house of our God." And so here, this is what the people of Jerusalem, this is the heart behind what is happening in the people. They do not want to neglect the house of their God. And we have to be determined. When we set out to do something, we need to be determined. And so here, chapter 11, It talks about what they are doing in order to do just that. If you remember, they have been taught how the temple was to be ran, and now the temple is up and running, and this is the word of God, and there was a time of confession, and all the things that the Lord was requiring of them, and now they're like, okay, let's not neglect the things now that we know. Because we are responsible for what we know, not what we don't know. And now they know. So they are like, let's do this. So chapter 11 opens up with the leaders of Jerusalem. They are already living in Jerusalem. They are already living in the gates. And if you, and I know the homework was really, really good about talking about the, Jerusalem is, it was kind of like a ghost town. And there was a lot of homes that were now, you know, broken down homes, and there was nobody living there. It was a ghost town, probably eerie. I mean, if you've walked into a ghost town, it's like you see like different structures, but there's no life there. And so here they were, they're living in this walled city. And they were living in there for a few different reasons. Number one, they were there to take care of the temple of God. And I think that the thing that has the most impact as a leader, if you're to take care of the temple of God or whatever it is that you are doing, you need to be present. You got to be there. You got to know what's happening. It's really hard to lead, be a leader of something, a corporation, a business, a church, a school, a classroom full of kids. You got to be there. You've got to be present. And this week I was looking at a video on Facebook, and there was a little girl, and she was like 5 years old, doing an instructional video. She had her I don't know what recording device, maybe her iPhone or whatever, her mom's was on like a tripod, and you could tell she was videoing her, and she was teaching people how to cut their hair. And she is, her hair's down to here, and she's cutting, and she said, and this is how you do it, and see, it's just, and she's like, yeah, that's perfect, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and so here in the background, though, you can hear her mom. You could hear her mom talking to somebody else. I don't know if she's in the room or in the room next to her, but I'm thinking, and be present. You are the parent here, and the title of it is, parents don't neglect your children. So we shouldn't neglect the house of the Lord, right? And so it just reminded me, we need to be present. When we are present, we can see the strengths of what's happening, like the good things. So we can go and say, that's great. And then we can see the things that are kind of, that need a little help, that are weak, that need some, you know, let's think through this a little bit more. They're there to protect. They know the state of their flock. They know the state of what's happening. And we need to know the state of those people that we are leading, whether that be your friend, maybe that be your home or your coworkers. You need to know the state of where they are in their hearts and in business, all sorts of things. But if you are not present, you can't see, you can't talk, you can't ask questions, and you can't observe. So we need to be present. The second thing is that they led by example. They were there. They were there when nobody else was there. They moved into that ghost town with the hope of one day that Jerusalem would be this bustling city that was busy, full of life, full of love, full of families. I mean, they saw it when Nehemiah, I mean, I guess you can even go back when Zerubbabel came, that was on his heart, to see the temple up and running and all those exiles that came back with him. And now that Nehemiah is back with all of his exiles, that was on his heart. And so here he is with all these people that their hope was that one day this Jerusalem, capital city, would be just bustling. And they wanted to see it alive and self-sufficient. This was a very peculiar city, though, right? I mean, it's like no other city because it's inhabited by people that were peculiar people. They did different things than other nations. They ate different things. They weren't allowed to eat different things. They celebrated different feasts and different times, and they weren't allowed to like walk too far on the Sabbath. Like they had all these things. And so they saw in their mind's eye what this city was going to be. So they were leading by example to get it started. By a show of hands, how many people have started up something from something like you're starting up and nobody else is doing it? It's kind of a tough thing, right? You could see it. You could tell people about it, but, you know, as a leader, we've got to walk through it first and they got to see that, okay, they're sold out for that. And so it's kind of like putting your money where your mouth is. And there has been a lot of talk here at Horizon in the schools, whether it be the elementary or over here, about what are we going to do? And people have asked me, you know, what schools are your kids going to go to if Horizon closes? And truly, I tell them, I have not given it one thought. They're going to Horizon. They're going to, I've no other plan for them. I am not secretly like putting tuition over here for somewhere else. I live in Eastlake, so I don't even know. And so I feel like we're putting our money where our mouth is, and we're going to walk by faith, and we're going to, and because we see the vision, like we see it happening here. And, you know, we are praying that we aren't going to go anywhere. And so, so I want to thank you for those of you that still have your kids in school. Thank you for putting your money where your mouth is. I feel like it is showing other people your faith, and that is, and that spurs other people on in their faith. But most of all, we want you to be right where Jesus wants you. So definitely do what he wants you to do. But so at this moment, though, Jerusalem is a ghost town. And then, so besides the leaders that are in Jerusalem, there are also volunteers that have stayed. God bless volunteers. I mean, really, it is the same five volunteers usually at every single event that, you know, set up and work the event, and they're there to the bitter end, and they're tearing down. And, you know, one thing about volunteers is that they are faithful. They are faithful. I mean, you look around and you see those that have been here through thick and thin over the years, through changes, from paring down to exploding in numbers to now paring down and exploding, like through all the different seasons of Horizon or wherever it may be. These are faithful people. These are the ones that saw the vision. These are the ones that, like, they've got it, and they're in wholeheartedly. And I love that these people also, their willingness will be displayed for eternity through the word here. Their willingness to just say, you know what, I'll do it. It's me, I'll do it. And the thing about volunteers is they're not promised. Like, they're not paid, so you don't know for sure if they're going to be there. You know, you don't know, you don't bank on it every time because they're volunteers, you know, and they're not paid to be here. And so when they show up, I bet you those leaders were just like, thank you, thank you. Because we can't do it alone. We can't bring to fruition anything without people's help. We need to be helping one another. So volunteers are awesome. They put wind in our sails and a bounce in our steps. So, you know, I know there's room moms that just like, we just need volunteers to bring like a donuts and, you know, the paper plates and all this stuff, you know, and if not, it's like usually the room moms are the ones stuck with doing it all. So volunteering is so important for each and every one of us, no matter what you're leading in or not, no matter where you are in life, we need to, all ears to be volunteers because they need us to volunteer, whoever they might be. Okay, and so they lived in the city, and then there was one other group of people that lived in the city. Those are the ones that stayed by lottery. And dun-dun-dun, right? And so, you know, I don't know if they all had to draw straws or whatever, and these are the ones that got the raw end of the stick or whatever. But to me, as a leader, I don't care how you got here. Thank you. You know, like, it doesn't matter how or why you came, but thank you so much for being here. And truly, we have to remember that who's in charge of the lottery anyway? The Lord. The Lord still hand selects people by lottery to bring those that he wanted there in the city. And I thought, these people that stayed by lottery, they have a responsibility to do what they're supposed to do, what they came there to do. And that wasn't just to live there. You know, they were there to help this vision. The leaders are, you know, trying to stir up this new life in Jerusalem. And then they have these volunteers that got that totally get that vision. Now these people that are by lottery, they're there in the same boat. They have to live out that same vision, not just live in their home and complain about it every day. I mean, that at that point, you know, why don't you just go move to the villages, right? And so maybe that speaks to you in your spot. Maybe you're somehow, don't know how you end up here, but I'm a part of this, whatever this is. You know, you try not to be that person who just goes through the motions because that's what is required in checking the boxes. Let's try to be those that like, okay, what's the vision here? You know, they don't just need a number. They don't need just another body. What's the vision? And we want to try to align our hearts and our attitudes and our excitement and our involvement with them, with that, so we could be a part of something much greater that the Lord, I think, wants to use that in our lives instead of just like digging in our heels and say, I don't want to do it. So those are the people that lived in the city. And then now there are people that lived on the outside of the wall, and they lived in their own land, in their own small villages, and so they, you know, would farm or do whatever it is that they did, and they would be a part of the worship in Jerusalem when the time came. So I was thinking about the temple and just that whole, we will not neglect the house of God. And this is how they were doing it in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, who is the temple of God? We are. We are the temple of God, and we ought not to neglect the temple of God. And I know my house, what it looks like after 1 week of not cleaning it. And then we have home fellowship there, and it's destroyed. You know, like it's just crumbs, and it's just kind of you need some tender loving care. And if I am not diligent in cleaning the home, it's going to be a disaster. And then it gets harder and harder and harder. And we need to take care of our temple. This is the temple of the Lord. The Lord dwells here. And so, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6:19. I think the verse will be on the screen as well, but we love our Bibles so much. First Corinthians 6:19-20 says, Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Ladies, we've been bought at a high price, and we are no longer our own. Our wants and our desires and the things we think we deserve, our positions, our possessions, our power, all of that stuff, it's not ours to want. For us to live is Christ. For us to live is whatever Christ has for us, whatever Christ wants us to have, wants to give us, wants to lead us, wants to take from us, wants to bring to an end. It is all about him. We are his, and we were bought at a price. If you would now turn to 1 Corinthians 3, just one page over. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple." And so here we see that I'm responsible for my own temple. You can't clean my temple. I have to take care of it. I need to tend it, like kind of like a garden, tending it. If I go out in my garden and I pull weeds every single day, it is no problem. But if I wait until after the rainy season, ridiculous. Ridiculous. And so it is our responsibility to tend to our own temple. But we are not in it alone, because according to this verse, God himself destroys those who come in and destroy my temple or defile it. You know, he is on our side. He will let us know. That room right there is B-A-D. He will let us know. And that's why it's so important to keep the short accounts with God. We need to come before him with confession and have him examine our temples, examine our hearts, examine our motives, examine our minds. And so he can tell us what's going on. And because he lives there. He dwells there. And sometimes we forget that. That's where he lives, you know. And sometimes I walk, okay, do you watch Fixer Upper? Okay, they're my friends. Are they your friends? They're my friends. I love them. Even Philip loves them. They are so fun. And but they go in and they refurbish homes and this and that, and it's ridiculous beauty homes. And I mean, I'd be like, I think I like that house. I want to dwell there, you know? And I'm wondering, well, what kind of house does God want to dwell in? And am I providing a home, the home that he wants and would feel comfortable in? One that he would be like, yes, a heavenly bed, you know, from the Westin or whatever. You know, I want him to feel comfortable, and it would be the appropriate place for him to dwell. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says that us, living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so, yes, I have a personal responsibility to keep my temple clean and holy and set apart for the Lord. But also, according to this verse, we are stones, living stones, and we are being fitted together, not in a man-made structure or building, but we are the body of Christ, and we are building up this holy temple together. And so collectively, we have a responsibility to one another to keep our temples clean. Because I'm telling you, when one temple's clean, bet you money, all that grumbling and complaining and backbiting, it just spreads. It spreads. Sin, it's like a little yeast, leavens the whole bunch. And so we are counting on one another to keep our temples clean. We depend on one another. You know, when I meet with my leaders, I assume they're ready to go. They're ready to go. And so there is no reason why we can't assume and hope and think and that for each one of us. We need to be responsible. It's like big girl pants. We got to just do it. It's got to be something we do every day. So. All right. So then chapter 12. This chapter is on, back in chapter 12. the wall is being dedicated. This wall is done. It's finished. They've all taken a hand in it. They all were, you know, they had the hammer in one hand or the trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. They each had a little section of the wall, and they all took part in this. And now their work is finished. And so what do? They threw a parade. They, like, organized a cool parade. How many of you have ever marched in a parade? Like, is that band? Band? Drill team? I was like a banner holder, so I just got to high knees. And you step in the poop no matter what, right, with a smile on your face. You just keep going, and then there's the grandstands, right? And you just smile, smile, smile. But this parade wasn't a parade of, like, pride. Like, look at us, and look at what we did. This is amazing. Look at what we've accomplished. This is not that type of parade. This parade is a parade of worship to their God. This parade was a parade of praise. And if you look in verse 43, the word joyful or rejoicing has been mentioned four times in one verse. And so this was a joyful expression that they just had to get out, that they just couldn't contain to their God because of this this mighty thing that God had done. Remember when they said that the enemies even looked at what they accomplished in 52 days and they knew their God was on their side? So this is like, thank you, Lord. This was giving him all of the praise and all of the glory. And not everybody could be in the parade, right? I think the homework went into, you know, told exactly who was on each parade, and they all came, went opposite ways, and they met and probably threw a party. But I do believe for those people that couldn't be in the parade, I think they gathered. They gathered to watch the parade. And it was kind of like, to me, I was just thinking like a little pep rally. And, you know, on those days when it's game day, you have a pep rally, and it was to get everybody rallied up and have team and school spirit and to know the cheers. And it's just like this excitement building until the game day. And when I was in high school, we just like lost every game. So we were like, yeah, bam. So, but I was figuring this is probably like a pep rally where they all wanted to rejoice and give thanks together. And I was talking to a lady this morning, and she was saying, you know, when it might, it says that the sound of the parade you could hear like from far away, and she says when she hears music, it kind of makes you want to like go there, like, oh, what's happening? And then you go. And I was thinking the same thing. I was late for church one day, and they have the speakers playing out, and I heard the worship for the first time on the speakers, and it just made me, oh my gosh, they've already started, I better hurry, I don't want to miss it. And so I would assume like it was kind of that type of feeling, like I can't wait till I get there. And so this parade was just in honor of dedicating the wall. It almost marked the new beginning. A new beginning for their lives there in Jerusalem. But one thing that struck me in this particular chapter was the preparation for the actual ceremony that the leaders had to do and the priests had to do. They had to cleanse themselves. They had to go through different rituals to be made ceremonial clean. And I find that when I come here on Wednesday nights, there's been a few Wednesday nights that I've been out to dinner with my family and we ran late and I'm running in here and my heart is not settled and I feel totally insane the rest of the evening. And I think that we need to settle down in prayer before we do things like this. And I feel like when my heart is settled, I could hear clearly from the Lord. I could feel his like direction, and I could see more the unseen and hear the unheard. You have that more of a discernment there. And so so I feel like it is just so important to the Lord that we are clean before him, though. And many of you know a leader here. Her name is Carol Holsack, and she can't be with us this season, but every single time we would pray, never fail, she would always say, "And Lord, would you forgive us of our sin?" And there were times that I would listen to her and think, there she goes again. There she goes again, knowing she's going to say it. And the thing is that it was so important to her that nothing stood in the way from her hearing the Lord and feeling him. And it is a good thing. As long as it doesn't become, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. And it's this rote prayer that you're just zooming through. And you mean you're sorry. You are confessing your sin, that you want to be clean and holy before a holy God. And you do not want to defile the work that he has in front of you. And so, so here it is so important. And in Leviticus chapters 10 and 16, It talks about Aaron, who was the high priest. It talks about his sons and how they offered profane fire to the Lord in one of their sacrifices, and they lit incense wrong, or the wrong type of incense. I am not quite sure, but whatever it was absolutely wrong. And the Lord, interesting, they did a profane fire, doused them with fire, and they burnt up, and they died. And so it is so very important that we do not do the Lord's work with with sin in our hearts, with an unclean temple, doing things in our own strength, in our own wisdom and in pride. It is ugly before the Lord, and he detests it. Also in Leviticus, it's interesting because my husband was talking, we were talking about Leviticus and how in the Life Journal, that Life Journal is going through Leviticus right now, and so this was very fresh in his mind. And then he also reminded me that he was reading, and throughout Leviticus, one thing that stood out in his mind was they were talking about all those sacrifices and stuff, and it says, without blemish, and it's 17 times in the book of Leviticus it says a sacrifice without blemish, and but now, right now, New Testament us, we are the living sacrifice, right? We are the living sacrifice, and through Jesus's blood we can be those living sacrifices without blemish, only possible by Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so here we are, living sacrifices, which means like I'm a living dead person, like everything that I want, I need, I think, I deserve, I. That should be dead. I should be dead to that. And to live is Christ, and put on Christ, and think about him like, whatever it is, Lord, here I am. I am here to do your will, not my own. And clean me, cleanse me. I want to be holy. So, and that is acceptable to God. That is acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable. And I think sometimes it sounds unreasonable. Sometimes to me, I think that is absolutely out of control. But you know what? It's not. Because we are paid at that high price. We have been purchased. We are the ones that said yes to Jesus. We are the ones. We knew there was a time when I said, I need you. There is no other way besides you, Jesus. I say yes to you. We signed up for it. And so now we're going to carry it through. It is our reasonable service. And so, yes, we need to be careful doing God's work. But I know making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and doing my laundry can be acts of worship as well, right? So it's not limited to preaching the word or going out evangelizing or setting up for the prayer meeting or doing worship or whatever it is that you do in the house of God. It is not limited to that. It is whatever we do. If we're going to do it under the Lord, it is whatever we do. And that to me, I remember hearing that when I was younger with a bunch of young kids thinking, what is the purpose in all of this? I wish I could do something spiritual, you know, something that matters in eternity. And the Lord just said, this matters in eternity. This can be an act of worship. And so, but I need to be cleansed daily so that I can do all of that and have it be holy and acceptable before the Lord. Okay, tracking? Yes, okay. Oh, we did that. All right, so, and we know that even a little bit of leaven leavens the whole bunch, right? We know that the sin contaminates everything. And so I was thinking about the soup that I made not too long ago, and usually I'll start a soup with what? Onion, carrot, celery, and you just saute, and then you put all your herbs and your spices in, and it's like layer upon layer of flavors, and you put your broth in, and your meat if you want it, and this and that, and simmer, and it goes on, and it has so much flavor. But if I put a little tiny piece of poop in it. My husband told me, do not share this. And I'm rebellious. A little tiny, I mean, we're talking tiny piece of poop in the soup. It's contaminated, right? Like the whole thing. You don't just fish it out. Right? And then you it's still just gross and contaminated, and you pitch it. It's contaminated. It's defiled. There's nothing useful about that. There's nothing good in that anymore. And so you pitch it. And so we have to remember that it's the same thing for our lives. It's the same thing for our temples. For this living sacrifice, that little tiny piece of leaven, that little tiny sin that you think is undetected, that you think nobody knows about, you think that you're going to go take care of it tomorrow. Well, today you're totally contaminated, and you're making everybody else be around that contamination as well. So we need to really examine what's in our soup and make sure it is good. Is that good visual? let's hopefully it stays just visual. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for the call that you have in each one of our lives, Lord. God, no matter how long we've been walking with you, no matter how long, where you've taken us to the ends of the earth, or how many children we've had, or how many years we've been in ministry, Lord God, bottom line, we are all the temple of God, that you dwell in each one of us, Lord. That is my first calling, is to make sure that my temple is undefiled. And so, God, tonight I ask that you would help us to look inward, to take inventory, to clean up, Lord, our lives, our hearts, our motives. What compels us? What do we seek after? What do we hunger and thirst for? What do we crave? What satisfies? Lord, all these things, Lord, can really tell us what needs to be cleaned and what is A-okay, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you are gentle when you expose our hearts. And so I pray that you would show those of us that need to know, those of us that need a nudge to finally do something about it, God, would you compel us into action to confess to you, Lord, what it is that needs to be clean, and the things that are exposed, things that we let the light shine on, are the things that we can actually see, God. And so would you shine your flashlight into our temples and just show us what needs to be clean, Lord, so that we can live dynamically for you and be effective and just be so obedient immediately, God, and that honors you and it blesses you, Lord. So have your way with us this evening. We pray this in your name. Amen.